The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Everyone seems to be talking about longevity, but while there's huge interest in living longer, experts are increasingly asking a different questions. How do we stay healthier for longer? The reality is that many of the biggest factors influencing our future health aren't expensive treatments or cutting-edge technology. They're the habits that we practice every day. And Professor Katrina Ryan is a consultant dermatologist, and she joins me on the line now. Lovely to speak to you, Katrina. Longevity, it became a bit of a buzzword, but when you hear people talking about it, do you think we're actually focusing on the wrong thing? We should be talking about health span rather than lifespan.
I absolutely do. And, you know, it's such a great point. You know, we've done so much with traditional medicine now to live longer, you know, to increase life expectancy over time. And, you know, hugely so actually in the last decade or two, you know, through all of our new advances and everything. But, you know, living longer isn't necessarily a great thing. I would prefer to live to 80 extremely healthily than to live to 100 and be decrepit and have severe dementia for 20 years and live to 100. And I think that's where we're often focusing the wrong way. Now, the last decade or two of people's lives often is with quite profound chronic disease, cognitive decline. So I think, you know, us talking about health span is a far more healthy thing to talk about, because what we really want to do is live better for every decade that we're alive. And I think the real focus of preventative health and, you know, wellness and has really moved this way. And it's a great thing. And the good news really is that an awful lot of this is determined by what we do ourselves, not by medications, not by any fancy interventions. You know, it's actually 80% of how we age healthily is governed by our lifestyle.
Only 20% is.
Yeah, so only 20% is actually governed by your genetics. So that's great news, I think. And when you look at it, the real pillars of living a healthy life are exercise, sleep, healthy nutrition, reducing our stress, social connections is huge as well, reducing our inflammation in our bodies. A lot of people are taking supplementation and things like that. And then reducing things like smoking and alcohol. So these are all things I think we all know, but people are focusing on fancy interventions and not on the obvious things. Like, exercise is the best thing we can do. It's more powerful than any drug that we've ever had. You know, your VO2 max and your muscle mass are the strongest predictors of healthy aging that we've ever measured. And exercise is for free. And, you know, it's not just your physical performance when it comes to exercise. It's things like your insulin sensitivity, your cognitive decline can be really helped with frequent exercising, your bone density, but also your functional dependence. I want to be that woman who's 90 years of age and still able to put my own case up in the airplane. That's what, you know, putting in the time now, you know, in my late 40s is going to dictate how I'm living in my 70s, 80s, 90s. Sleep is another obvious one. You know, it's again for free, but it's highly underrated. But if you get good sleep, and I don't just mean long sleep, deeper sleep, then it improves everything. It's the key time that our body repairs, regenerates. It actually has a big impact on our metabolism, our cognitive functioning. And if you don't sleep well, so people who are sleeping less than 6 hours a night have a much higher mortality risk, 79% increase in mortality risk compared to people who don't. So again, it's such a key factor, and it's really underappreciated.
So if you could look at a person's
psychological stress.
Sorry, average daily routine then, Katrina, what are the sort of biggest health mistakes that you'd expect to find for your average person?
I think it's our sedentary lifestyle. There's lots of things we can do to try and be more active, whether it's walking to work. Getting in your steps is an easy one as well. Compromising our sleep, really important as well. I think our social connections is a huge one. You know, it sounds like a very soft variable, but loneliness is a big predictor of poor life expectancy too. It can be equivalent to smoking, you know, when you look at it in some studies. So I think it's our daily lifestyle. Like if you look at the people who live for you know, the longest, and I don't just mean living longer, but, you know, living into their hundreds in good health with good cognitive function and good good overall daily functioning, the blue zones they're called. None of them are genetically interconnected, but they are places where people have shared patterns. So natural movement. None of these people go to the gym or take supplements, by the way. They have natural movement. They're very active people. They have strong social ties. Their diet is a Mediterranean-based diet, plant-forward. Now, they still eat meat, but they don't overfill themselves. And then having times of rest during the day, whether that be, you know, I don't mean sleeping all the time, but meditation, prayer, slower meals, all of these things make a huge difference in the way we in the way we age and how happy we are as well. You know, what's interesting is one of the biggest things that these places have in common is people having a sense of purpose, you know, a reason to wake up, a sense of value in their lives too. So it's all of these things that actually cost us nothing, but, you know, reframing the way we're thinking and the way we're living can make a huge difference to somebody's health span and how they're functioning in their daily life.
There was something you mentioned there, sorry, before I cut you off, and it was stress. And I think that is one of the real killers, particularly for sort of these generations that are working longer, that are always online, that feel that they're living in a culture where you're always on, there's always demands on you.
I completely agree. And it's not even just in work. I think people are always switched on because they're always on their phone. They're always, you know, they've constant information coming at them. And you know what's really, really interesting? I get to see it in my clinic. So I have a patient walk in and they, you know, they've been clear of their psoriasis for years. And then all of a sudden they're flaring. And I ask them, what's going on? They're going through a divorce or they've lost their job. So psychological stress doesn't just impact your quality of life and, you know, and how happy or miserable you feel. It actually has a biological effect on you as well. It causes systemic inflammation. We see when you look at, you know, I'm very involved in more longevity science now, looking at your biological aging with DNA methylation. And they show when someone is chronically stressed, they age biologically more quickly. So they have telomere shortening as well. So it's not just that it's impacting your quality of life, it's impacting your physical health as well and your systemic inflammation. So that's a huge thing. And that's easy for us to say, oh, stress is bad for you. What do we do to reduce our stresses? And I think that's where the crux of it is.
Hi, I'm a 67-year-old female. I have a good diet. I exercise most days, but my sleep is crap. I never get more than 6 hours a night and I need a histamine most nights. What control do I have over this? I don't do screens. I don't drink tea or coffee afternoon. What am I going to do? Any advice?
Yes. So, and this is a really common problem for people, you know, when it comes to sleep. I think having good sleep hygiene is really important. You know, no heavy meals after, no eating if you can after 7 p.m. No screens in the evenings either. Reading at nighttime can be really helpful. Keeping your room more cool. You get a deeper sleep that way. Some supplements can be helpful. Magnesium, omegas come from omega, you know, that's omega 3 fatty acids, and creatine actually can be helpful in people who are sleep deprived as well. So it's all of those things really, really important.
All right, Katrina Ryan, Professor Katrina Ryan, thank you for all of that really helpful advice. It seems back to basics we go, folks.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.